It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Or you could reach out to us on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Good morning, everybody. The Giants continue to be busy in free agency. We'll talk about all the stuff that was reported over the weekend. And the Giants are moving forward, and there's more news today, and we will get to that as the show moves on. But let's start with the two signings over the weekend, Walter Thurmond and Quinton Demps coming to Big Blue. First, I'll start with Quinton Demps because I've gotten this question a lot on Twitter over the last couple of days. Yes, he's a safety, but he is primarily going to be a special teams player for the Giants, doing some kicks. Maybe they'll mix him in and punt return a little bit as well. So that's the primary reason Quinton Demps is here with the Giants. He can make some big plays there. Is he as dynamic as a Ted Ginn, as a Jacoby Jones? Probably not, but he's also a lot cheaper than those two guys. So that's the reason Quinton Demps is here. As for Walter Thurmond, I think it's a very good signing. Now, at the start of free agency, and I maintain this opinion, I think there's a little bit of a risk of anybody from that Seattle Seahawks secondary having their value a little bit inflated because of the system they're from, because of the defense they're from. Obviously, they've won a Super Bowl. We've seen off of Super Bowls a lot of guys get contracts maybe they don't deserve. But to me, based on the reported numbers of this contract, which it seems to be 1 year, $3.5 million, if that number is indeed correct, the Giants got a pretty good deal here. And I like Walter Thurmond the same reason I liked Alteron Werner. Both guys are in their prime. Thurman's just 26. He'll be 27 when the season starts in September. He's still in his prime. He can play the slot, which the Giants are lacking right now since it doesn't appear like they're going to go after, at least they haven't gone after thus far, trying to re-sign Terrell Thomas. So Thurman could do that. He's big enough where he can play outside as well. Pro Football Focus had him giving up the fifth fewest yards per play out of the slot last year playing for Seattle. He was healthy all 12 games. Now, he did serve four games because of a suspension for performance-enhancing drugs. That's a worry. But I think considering the one-year contract, the amount of money they gave him, I think it's a very, very good signing to help secure the Giants' secondary. He can play the slot. He can play outside. He's a young guy still. I think it makes a lot of sense. And to get a guy that could be a starter for you, and I think Thurmond can be a starter across from Prince, for $3.5 million, I think it's a very, very good signing. And I think Giant fans should be very happy about it. You know, we talked about trying to fit all these different needs under the salary cap. When you can get a guy that can start a corner for $3.5 million, you know what? That's going to help you do that. And I'm sure a lot of the calls today, what we're going to get, are about the other rumored moves the Giants could be making. And that's regarding Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. Not confirming anything that's in the paper, but if those reports are to be believed, he was here yesterday visiting. He's coming back today to get a physical. And what I've seen is a lot of Giant fans jumping to conclusions that the mere fact he's taking a physical means that he's going to be on the Giants next year. Well, slow your roll. Calm down. Apparently, he also took a physical with the Jets. He's been invited to visit by the Cleveland Browns, who, by the way, have a ton of salary cap space. And quite frankly, I would be very surprised still if Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is a member of the Giants. Now, I could be proven wrong by the end of the day. I could be proven wrong tomorrow. But Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie got a big contract offer from the Broncos. He turned it down. Instead, the Broncos signed Aqib Talib. Why would Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie then turn around and take a low dollar and guaranteed million contract from the Giants when he turned down big money from Denver. I don't see it. Yeah, I know his former teammate Andre Rolle is here. I'm sure he's been in his ear and told him good things about the Giants. That's all great. Guess what? He's a young player in his prime. This is his really big opportunity in free agency to make some bucks. You know what? He's going to want to get paid. And quite frankly, based on all the different signings the Giants have made over these past few days and week plus of free agency, I don't see, unless they get very creative with how they're structuring some of these contracts, how they can afford to pay a guy like Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, who's going to want to get paid in the double-digit millions per year. He wants to be in that $9, $10 million a year category like Sam Shields. I don't see how the Giants afford it. And quite frankly, I would be very leery giving Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie a long-term contract. If it's a one-year deal, we can have the conversation. But I worry about paying a guy big-time money that had to get challenged and coached up in Denver this year and be treated, like, you know, take the kids' gloves off and really get rough with him because he had such a down year in Philadelphia and he wasn't motivated enough to play well down there. That's not the guy I want to give a big-time, high-money, long-term guaranteed money contract to. No interest. He also has no interest in tackling. That's going to drive Tom Coughlin nuts, but he is an excellent cover guy. He's small. He's fast. He's quick. I shouldn't say small. When I say small, I mean he is, you know, very good side-to-side movement. He's very quick, but he is big enough to cover, you know, the bigger wide receivers in the league, and he can cover. He's a good cover guy, but guys, I'm telling you, don't assume Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie is going to be a Giant just because reports say he's coming back to take a physical today. I still think it's a long shot. I really do. There's a salary cap. You can only spend so much money under the salary cap. And I don't see how the Giants are going to afford the $9 million a year it's going to take to sign a guy like that, $10, $11 million a year. I don't see it. So I hate to deflate balloons here and pop them for people, but I'd still be very surprised if it happened. And quite frankly, I'd be concerned giving him a long-term deal based on his history. I really would be. To me, there's red flags. And I would rather, you know, pick somebody in the draft to be your long-term corner than pay a guy big money like that, especially when next year you're going to want to pay Prince big money. Can you afford to pay two corners big money contracts? I don't know. And I'd rather have Prince than Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie. Again, if it's a one-year deal, we can have the conversation. Long-term, not so sure. And I don't think DRC, as everyone keeps calling him on Twitter, because they don't want to write out his full name, that he's going to sign a one-year deal when he left a lot of big money over, you know, a long-term contract on the table from Denver. And I also feel, before we get to your calls, and I see the full bank of calls at 201-939-4513, I'll get to him in just 1 second, but I feel like I have to mention the guy the Giants let get away over the weekend before we get to your calls. And I'm sure Shakes is fuming. I'm sure Steve is fuming. And you know what? Despite the fact that I've been trying to convince them all offseason that bringing back Akeem Nicks was a bad idea, on a one-year, $3.5 million contract with incentives to have it get to $5.5 million if the reports on the contract were correct, I would have lived with that, to be quite honest with you. I don't know how easily attainable those incentives are. If they're difficult incentives, say like, you know, 1,100, 1,200 yards or 7 touchdowns or a certain amount of catches or even, you know, 15 games played, something like that because of his injuries, I would have said, you know what? If they're easy, I understand not wanting to give them 5.5. But if they're very difficult to get, to be quite honest, Akeem Nicks at $3.5 million, it's a pretty good deal. It really is. And here's why it's a good deal. Are the Giants going to be go out there in free agency and find another wide receiver that's going to give them the upside Akeem Nicks has, and even the year he had last year? Are they going to be able to get a player like that and pay him less than $3.5 million? I don't know if there's a good chance of that. I mean, that's probably about what you'd have to pay for a James Jones, give or take. Maybe a little less. But if the Giants were going to bring back Akeem Nicks on that type of contract, I would have been okay with it. So if you're a fan, if you're someone analyzing these contracts and these decisions, what do you say? Here's what you say. Akeem Nicks was a very good player here, but clearly something happened over the last 2 years that made the Giants really sour on him. And for them to pass up the opportunity, even bring him back on a one-year deal at that type of price, for them to pass up on it and say no thank you, it shows you how down they must be on Akiem Nicks and how much the last year and a half must have bothered this organization. And I think you have to trust them based on what they've seen, what they know about the player. And nobody in the league knows more about Akiem Nicks than the New York Giants. For them not to want him back at that price tag tells me that they know something that presents a serious risk and a serious danger to them to bring him back to this team. Now, I can't tell you exactly what it is. You know, I'm sure they were very upset he couldn't play in that very important Cowboys game last year. Maybe that had something to do with it. The constant injuries, the apparent lack of effort from time to time last year. I'm sure all those things together raised too many red flags for the Giants to want him back. And quite frankly, the way I see it, if you didn't want him back at 3.5 with some incentives in a contract, you probably weren't going to bring him back at any price, to be quite honest with you. So, a tough decision for the Giants, but they let Akiem Nicks go. And it was pretty clear from the outset they had really no interest in bringing him back. So, something Giant fans should consider. I know a lot of you guys are probably upset he's gone. But, again, no one knows more about Nicks than the Giants. For them not to want him back, I think, is telling. For Dave Gettleman in Carolina not to go out there and, you know, give him a lot of money on a long-term deal, that's telling. Do you know why? He knows people here. He understands Akiem Nicks as well. For him not to want him, I think, sends a message. I think the entire league saw what he put on tape the last 2 years, which wasn't a whole lot. So, Shakes, Steve, I'm sure you guys will call up later in the show. That's my take on it. Would I have rolled the dice on a one-year, $3.5 million contract, depending on what the incentives are? I would have considered it, but clearly the Giants had no interest in bringing Akiem Nicks back this year. 201-939-4513. Let's get to our phones. Thanks for holding, fellas. Let's go to Bash in Ohio first. Bash, what's going on, pal?
What's going on, John? Appreciate wanting to be the first caller, John. I had a couple of things I wanted to say about this free agency.
Sure.
But us being the first week into free agency, the first week is looked at all the signings that the Giants did and the signings that other teams did. I'm not really impressed with the Giants signings this year. Aspects of, we had one, I think, our best deal and our worst deal. I like the Jeff Schwartz deal. I like that deal, but the Giant fan will be upset with me. The worst deal we had was the John Beeson deal, I believe.
Too much money
on the aspects of, we had a set number. We have Giants, as Giants fans, you say Jerry Reese have a set number on players, and he was at $4 million. They paid him $6 million, $2 million more than they did. They had leave him going to the Broncos and gave him a number and him bringing it back to the Giants. That they paid for the money. Now,
First of all, I don't think anybody knows what Jerry Reese's initial offer was. For one, I don't think we know. Do I believe the Giants probably improved their offer after Beeson went out there on the open market? I'm sure they did, but that's simply a product of the free market system. That's going to happen with anybody. Now, do I think the Giants maybe overpaid a little bit for John Beeson? I think they probably did, but when they went out there and they looked at the other middle linebackers on the market, I think they felt they were probably negotiated into a corner a little bit, and if they didn't bring back Beeson, they were going to be hard-pressed to find a middle linebacker to bring to the table what Beeson does.
Now, with that being said, with the aspect of the middle linebacker, I think we would have let Beeson go. I like the kid, Wesley Warrior, that played for the Broncos. He just signed a 4-year, $16 million, which we could have got, and a young player that's coming up and productive that we could have signed like that. That's what we look for, young players. I like the Wesley Woodyard. It would have been a nice pickup for the Beeson signed elsewhere. But besides the Beeson pick, I just seen now I like the Jennings pick that we had from the beginning, but now I'm seeing a Ben Tate deal that he just signed was similar. We could have got a Ben Tate and a Rashid Jennings with Ben Tate being the number one running back off the free agency this year and Beeson maybe being the second or third. We could have got a Ben Tate.
Obviously the Giants liked Rashad Jennings more than they liked Ben Tate. I liked Rashad Jennings more than I liked Ben Tate, so I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. And aspect of talk about the splash, and I think Jerry Reese had heard Friday's show with aspect of Jerry Reese and everybody talk about Jerry Reese and the signings. I think this is he's in a hot seat this year. I think we don't do anything good, and we have a bad season this year and not made the playoffs again. I think he's in a hot seat, maybe fired next year, listening to what the girl called about last week. I don't think he should be fired this year, and John Coughlin and Tom Coughlin and Jerry Reese. But I think if we have another bad year this year, that he should be going next year, giving him this chance, but giving him this chance this year. But if we don't make the playoffs this year and see how the draft coming free agency is this far, I think he should be going next year.
Well, Bash, in fairness, based on how John Mara reacted after the disappointing season last year, going 7-9, another year not making the playoffs, then 4 out of 5 seasons not being in the postseason, if the Giants this year, and I don't think this is going to happen, have a year similar to what they had last year, and they go 7-9, 6-10, are out of the playoffs by week 13 or 14, and they're done in early December, I think there's a good chance there could be very, very major changes here based on the performance the last 4 to 5 seasons.
Right.
Thanks, Bash.
All right.
You got anything else for me?
Yeah, I had a couple more. I had some questions.
Bash, one more quick. I got to get the other calls, all right? Pick one and go with it.
All right, the free agency coming up. We got a couple of signees, a couple of players. Who do you think we got coming in that's going to Manningham, Anthony Spencer, DRC? Who do you think we're signing any of those players if we just bring them in? I like the Anthony Spencer coming in. I like that'd be a nice replacement for Tuck and for a little cheaper price. With the players that are coming in this week, today and yesterday and tomorrow, who do you think we'll pick up out those players? Manningham, Spencer, DC, DRC, those players that's coming in.
I appreciate the call, Bash. Thanks a lot. I would say, of the guys that are coming in, I would probably say the most likely to be signed, again, if these reports are correct and these guys actually are coming in, I would go with Mario Manningham first, just as a flyer at wide receiver, though that will require a very, very, I'm sure, intricate physical to make sure that knee is healthy. And quite frankly, I'm not sure how much Manning has left in the tank. You know, he's not a wide receiver that's going to beat you with his route running and his smarts. He's a guy that's going to beat you with his athleticism and his speed, and I wonder how much that's been adversely affected by his injury. So I'd worry about Manningham, but, you know, as a flyer, and I mean flyer as in veterans minimum guy, if you want to bring him in to be a fourth wide receiver, that's fine. You can do it. I don't think it's a big impactful signing. As for Anthony Spencer, I think Spencer's still fishing for money. So if he's fishing for money, I wouldn't really go out there and pay him a lot, to be quite honest with you, because I would worry about that knee. But if you can get him at like a veteran's minimum or a little more than that and roll on the dice on him to try to replace Tuck, because he's exactly the type of run-stopping defensive end I think you could use, I don't think that's a bad move. Do I think it's going to happen? No, because I think Spencer's more likely to go back to Dallas at a low number than switch teams at a low number. So unless the Giants are willing to overspend Dallas and outpay them, I think Spencer will probably return to Dallas, or he'll get money somewhere else, one of these teams that have a lot of cap space. And I mentioned Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. I honestly think he's out of the Giants' budget, and I wouldn't give him a ton of money over a ton of years. I don't like him that much as a player. 201-939-4513. Joe is in Pennsylvania. Joe, what's up, pal?
Good morning, John. Great show. First, I want to say thanks to Tuck. Good luck there. I understand it from both sides. Him and Ozzie Umenyiura, to me, were like Strahan's little brothers. So
yep,
hopefully
yep,
they can all come back and retire Giants, you know. But I was wondering, if Tuck went first in free agency and it came down to Beeson and Joseph, which one would you have signed there?
Hit me with it this way. I think Linval Joseph might actually be a better defensive tackle than John Beeson is a middle linebacker. But based on the Giants' needs, based on their depth at the two positions, with Jonathan Hankins waiting in the wings, I probably would have leaned towards re-signing Beeson.
Really?
Yeah.
Were their contracts similar?
I never saw the final numbers on Joseph. I think it was about $6.5 million a year, give or take. So their contracts turned out to be in the same neighborhood. I just think the Giants had a bigger need at middle linebacker, and I think Beeson was a better fit.
Right, but the only thing there, I think Joseph was just coming into his prime. He didn't have no injury problems, nothing. He was a good character. He might have been able to take over right for Tuck, too.
Well,
you
I mean, but well, Linval Joseph plays a different position than Justin Tuck.
I understand, and trust me,
Joseph would never be the leader that Justin Tuck was. It wasn't in his personality.
Okay. I want to say congratulations to Heino. He's in my cold cracker area here, and I'd say to him, you know, he's a good kid, you know what I mean? He proved it as a rookie, you know what I mean? He don't make mistakes. He works hard and studies. If I was Coughlin or Reese, he'd make the team, but he has the mentor, Will Hill, and this new Thurman guy. You know what I'm saying? Babysit him.
Henry Hanoski has to babysit Thurman? What are you talking about?
Didn't you say both of them are under, you know, influence of drugs and stuff like that now and then? They had that problem.
Well, Quinton Demps doesn't have any issues, and Walter Thurman had a thing with PEDs, but, you know, we've seen that with people with the Giants where a lot of times, you know, with, like, the Andre Browns, that ended up getting pulled back, the Tyler Sash with the Adderall, things, you know, things of that nature. I don't think they need Henry Hanoski to babysit them to make sure they stay out of trouble. That's kind of out of left field.
I'd like to put him and Will Hill there. Let him tag along with him, and he'll stay out of trouble. So,
all right, what else you got, Joe?
Let's see. I do like the signings, McClain and that. I just saw him, you know, from Baltimore, Thurman from Seattle. You know, they're Super Bowl winners, so that had to come here. But I also seen, the game here recently they had on the Eagle in New England, you know, their dynasty and everything, and they were showing the Giants of 07. They really had a great mix of rookies in that started. So you got to give Reese and Coughlin credit. Was he general manager in 07?
Yeah, too? Jerry Reese's first draft was the 2007 draft. That's correct.
That was a great draft with Ross and all them, and they were all contributing, you know, and they really look good there, you know. I'm saying you see the players they had in 07, and Collins was announcing that game, and it was Christmas or New Year's Eve, and he said he thought New England was one of the best teams of all time, you know.
And you know what? That Patriot team, despite the fact they lost to the Giants, was one of the best teams of all time.
Well, I says you got to get the – look at the players the Giants had, the depth, you know what I mean, the veterans and the rookies. You got to give them credit. Whatever happened to Boss? He looked like a really upcoming player. Is he still playing in the
Kevin
league?
Boss had a lot of concussion issues. He had to retire.
Yeah, well, I said he looked really good in that game there too. And the kid they picked up out of Denver, who's running the back, we lost him, the wide receiver there in that game. He took a kick back. He ran. He was everything. He returned was in the third. Brought back to the 30s, the 40-yard line. So
I mean, Dominic Hickson.
Right.
The wide receiver. All right, Joe.
Right.
Appreciate the call, man.
Yeah. And only one other thing, if you don't mind here.
Be quick, Joe.
Okay. Like I said, I heard you talking who to take, a corner or a receiver or a tight end. I think in a draft, it depends. I think they're going to be available, even a defensive tackle or offensive tackle. I think I would look and see what comes next that would be available, what's going like to draft in the second or third rounds, because I think we're all needs.
All right, Joe. Appreciate the call, buddy.
Okay, thank you, buddy.
And I could see them going offensive tackle, maybe even in the first round, and then, you know, obviously you can always replenish your defensive line throughout the draft. 201. 939-4513. Let's go to Derek in Atlanta. Derek, what's going on?
Hey, John. I had already, you know, got myself ready to call in this week and kind of give a rant about Jerry Reese. Just sitting on the fence, and, you know, by not extending Eli, not extending intro role, and thinking that he's going to play it safe by, protecting the salary cap plus making signings, but I think that was going to lead to another 8-8, 9-7 record, which I just don't think is going to be good enough. I think that based on the records that we had in the last few years, he's going to have to basically go for it. He's going to have to re-sign, restructure, you know, give Eli a 2-year deal, Antrell Roll, you know, maybe a 2-year deal, and use that money to just go out there and go for it. And if he doesn't think that he wants to do that,
Derek, remember this though too. I get where you're coming from, but you gotta, you know, also have two to tango there. Roll and Eli have to be willing to agree to just 2-year extensions. I think both guys would probably want extensions in the 4 to 5 year range.
Well, that could be right, but I think if I was Jerry Reese, now the owner, I guess, has something to do with it too. But I would think that he would think that this is his last year to you know, make the playoffs. And I think, I'm going to give him a little slack because he brought in Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie and made some good signings this weekend. And I see the Giants are trying. I don't think that Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie would be there taking a physical or even interviewing if the Giants didn't have a plan to bring him in, whether that means letting someone go, whether that means you know, restructuring someone. I think they have, they know what it takes to get him in there. Now, whether they'll be outbidded by the Jets is another story, but, you know, I think that they do have a plan to get him in there. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, I'm not shocked that they didn't extend either one of those two guys. I mean, I thought Roll had a better chance of it than Eli. I think they're being a little patient on Eli, considering he's coming off a bad year. But I thought they would try to free up a little more cap room with the Roll extension. I'm not sure what they're waiting for. Maybe, you know, they're a little concerned the cornerback getting into his 30s, giving him a contract extension. I'm not sure. Maybe Roll's told them, you know, the money that he would require on a contract extension is outlandish. I don't know the answer to that question, but I thought they would try to do something to free up some more money. Derek, we appreciate the call, man.
Yeah, I just got a quick one.
Yeah, real fast.
I don't think they even made an offer to Nick. So that kind of tells you where the Giants were with him.
No, agreed.
All right, see you next.
Thank you, Derek. Appreciate it, man. And look, and that's what I said. I don't think the Giants had any interest in bringing Akeem Nicks back, period, no matter the price. 201-939-4513. A lot of people calling in, guys. I'm going to try to get through these calls as quickly as I can. Jamal and Albuquerque next. I haven't heard from Jamal out there in a while. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Nothing much, Jamal. How are you?
I mean, it's free agency time, so, you know, it's not season time. But, man, I am upset with the Tut situation. I mean, how do we let him go to the Raiders for that amount of money and don't try to somewhat counteroffer or provide him with some? I mean, he's a two-year champion. I know he's getting up in age. I know they wanted to get younger. I know there were some other holes in the area. But, man, you let your defensive captain, your leader, walk out the door. I mean, and from what the reports and what I'm hearing, it was like a two-year, $5 million. You know, and the Raiders offered him two-year, $11 million. I mean, you kind of made him, like you said, you kind of made him make his choice. You know, I mean, I know he wanted to get somewhat paid, but it seems like he was willing to negotiate somewhere in the ballpark between what John Beeson probably got. He probably felt like it was a slap in the face for John Beeson to get more than what he was actually offered.
Well, I mean, I think Tuck has to understand Beeson's a younger player, so he's probably going to get more money than Tuck is as a free agent, number one. But look,
okay,
I think both sides did what they had to do in the Tuck thing, and I talked about this on Friday. I think Tuck, in the last time he's going to be a free agent, got as much money as he could, and he got a contract that a lot of people felt was overvalued from the Raiders, which is not a surprise. The Raiders had a ton of cap space they had to spend, so they had the luxury of overpaying for a guy like Tuck. While the Giants decided, look, we have a ton of needs. Corner, wide receiver, tight end. They haven't even addressed two of those yet. They signed the running back. They want to sign their offensive lineman, I'm sure. And they decided that they could replace Tuck in-house with whether it's Kiwanuka, the DeMontre Moores of the world, guys like that, and they'd rather go that route than pay a defensive lineman that's over 30 more than $3 million a year. I know Tuck said that, you know, he would have came back here for 2 for $8. That's probably true. I wouldn't be surprised by that, but I guess the Giants didn't feel like at his age with his production that they would be willing to go
right
that far to bring him back.
But how do you get rid of two D linemen? I mean, primary D linemen, Linville Joseph and Tuck. And like they've been saying, they want to get younger, but Linville Joseph is 25, 26, D tackle. So do we really have that much stock in Jonathan Hankins and Cullen Jenkins to make sure, you know, to pull up that young man's load?
Look.
In the interior? I mean, to me, it's like you give up both. Like, wow, I could see one other, but both same year?
Well, here's the problem. That's $10 million. Do you want to remove $10 million from your other free agent signings? Do you want to take Jeff Schwartz off the books? Do you want to take Walter Thurman off the books? Do you want to take Rashad Jennings off the books?
But why don't we – so Eli, I heard you say the last call, like Eli Manning's contract going to be reconstructed to save some cap space.
Well, no, not reconstructed, extended. It would have to be extended.
Oh, extended. So knowing that he had an off year, first of all, I think his contract should definitely be looked into, because having years like that, you need to be looked at. So my thing is that he's an offensive captain, Eli is – Justin Tuck, the defensive captain.
Don't say Eli Manning's not taking a pay cut. Don't go there, Jamal. It's not happening.
Right. Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, for somebody to have a bad year versus somebody to have, you know, I think Justin Tuck last year solidified his, even though towards the end of the season, was already out, down and out with the Redskins. But, I mean, he still played, unlike our other free agent that we let go, Nick. I mean, Justin Stuck still performed and performed very well for us at that age. So I just want to, you know, I'm just venting. I'm just kind of upset that with the fact that we didn't get Tuck back because, you know, it's very rare you get guys like that to be able to stay within the organization. And I know you can tell that he wanted to stay, but like you said, both kind of come to an agreement, you know, to keep him there. So I just hope that we get somebody that can replace him. I hope the young man, DeMonte Moore, has Justin Tuck's worth ethic and habits and be able to step up. And I hope JPP can stay healthy. If not, we're in trouble.
Thanks, Jamal. Appreciate the call, bud.
All right.
Good to hear from you.
No
and look,
problem.
And you're 100% right, by the way. If DeMonte Moore can get Justin Tuck's work ethic and seriousness about the game down, I think he'll probably be a better player than Tuck was, or at least a better pass rusher. He has more raw athletic ability than Tuck had when he got here. There's no question. He's that talented. And look, I'm sad too. It probably hit me harder with Tuck leading than any other player that's left here over the past, you know, 5-6 years. He's a good guy. Worked with him a long time. One of the better people I've covered here. Great dude. But sometimes you have to separate the emotion from the business part of it. And the Giants believe they have enough depth there to let Tuck go and survive. Same with Linval Joseph. And sometimes you have to do that. 201-939-4513. And it's going to be tough replacing both guys. And I don't even care about Tuck's 11 sacks. That doesn't bother me. I'm worried about the run defense. I really am. You lose Linval Joseph and Justin Tuck. Those are probably your two best run defenders on the defensive line. I know Beeson's back. That's great. I know Hankins is here. That's great. But I think it's something you got to worry about a little bit. I really do. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Tamar down in D.C. Is that Tamar or Jamar? Jamar. What's going on, Jamar?
Yeah, it's Jamal, but it's cool.
Hey, I'm sorry, Jamal. What's up?
Hey, man. I just want to say, you know, congrats to Tuck. You know, his signing in the Raiders, man. But you know, he is going to be missed. But you know, I'm a little bit more excited about the depth that we got in linebacker core. It's been a long time, you know, since we have a decent player in the middle linebacker position. You know, and I also like the signing of a Janelle McCain. You know, coming from the Ravens. You know, I feel like, you know, I just feel like from last season, you know, we've been looking ugly in the middle of the field, you know, with the streaks and, you know, the 10-yard drags, you know, from other teams, whatever. It was just so evident and obvious that, you know, we needed depth in that position. So, you know, I actually have no problems with the signings at all. Like, I'm kind of excited about it. I feel like DRC would definitely be a great addition to our secondary that also suffered last year.
Now, remember, just one thing. Remember, and I want to stress this to everybody, you know, despite the fact that there are reports that he's taken a physical, that does not mean that a deal's done or a deal's been agreed to. So, from what I understand, they're still pretty far away from him becoming a Giant. So, yeah. I don't want Giant fans to get ahead of themselves here.
Okay. But, I mean, even so, though, Walter Thurman, though, I feel like that's a great addition also, because I just feel like, you know, for once in free agency, you know, since Antrell Rowe, we actually, like, I feel like we, you know, we answering, you know, what we need, you know, like what we need in, you know, on defense. I have no problem with Shaw Jennings. I think that's a tremendous pickup that we have, because, you know, I mean, Eli Strive on the play action, and, you know, we didn't have no running game last year, like, whatsoever. I mean, I understand David Wilson was hurt, but, you know, he got a long way to go with, you know, holding on to that football. So, you know, I feel like, you know, Peyton Hillis, you know, all those guys, I just feel like, you know, we can have some sort of a play action game going on right now. So I feel like Eli, you know, he's going to have a better season than last season. I mean, he just got, like, 2,000 in the rug. Because, you know, the running game was non-existent. So, you know, I feel like, you know what I'm saying, like getting these guys, you know, I think we're heading in the right direction. You know, I never questioned Reese in his movements, though. But, you know, I really hope that we do get, like, a tight end, you know, wide receiver in the first, second round if we don't get him, you know, in the free agency.
All right, Jamal, appreciate the call, bud.
All right.
And I agree with you. I think the biggest needs right now are a tight end, wide receiver, and I still think you need another offensive lineman inside. Now, with Thurmond here, do you have to bring in another corner? No. Would I like another veteran? Sure. Or if you want to pick somebody a little bit higher in the draft, I'd live with that too. But I think, look, tight end's a big need now. I really think so. And the way I think I see the Giants addressing it at this point is they'll, in free agency, bring in a, you know, a 1A or number 2 guy, like an Ed Dixon type, just to give an example of the type of player I'm talking about. And he can be the starter if you need him to be. He'll be more of a blocker then, and the Giants will do more 3 wide receiver stuff. And then they'll look in the draft to bring somebody in that can maybe be your full-time starter in round 1 or round 2. That's how I see it going down right now with tight end, because I don't see anybody on this free agent market. And, you know, you guys know I'm on the record. I'm not a big JerMichael Finley fan. So I don't think there's anybody on the market right now that can start. And one of the few guys out there that I thought could have started and been okay was Brandon Pettigrew, and he got way overpaid. That contract was ridiculous based on his production. Insane. You can have him. Thanks. No thanks. Back to our phones at 201-939-4513. Oh, boy. I wonder how he survived the weekend. I hope he take a deep breath. I hope he's calm. Steve, now you're at work. I don't want you to yell and get into trouble. I want you to stay calm. But go
What's
ahead.
Happening, John?
I'm doing all right, buddy? Steve. How are you? Tough weekend for you, man. I'm sorry you lost the game.
Yeah. I'm going to talk on that real quick, and I'm going to try to be brief, man. First of all, I'm home on snow day, so I'm
a snow day.
Like 8 inches out here. Yeah.
Get out of here! It snowed down there.
Yeah.
Boy, you guys in D.C., you guys can't handle the snow for nothing. You should be ashamed of yourselves down there. You close for everything.
Oh, I know. Yeah, exactly, you know. But, yeah, buddy, listen, obviously the Hakeem situation hurt me only because of what you said, only because of the money situation. I just, you know, for him to get paid that much, it kind of hurts. I'll just go with what we have to assume is that, you know, we really just didn't want him back at any cost. And I don't understand because, you know, obviously, you know, Mr. Merritt was higher on him. So it's just kind of hard to understand how that all played out. But with that being said, a lot of people are like, you know, I hear a lot of stuff about Reese. Even a few callers ago said something about, you know, Reese should be fired, you know, and I just don't understand. I give him an A-minus right now. And to me, I've always pretty much given him a B-plus or A-minus since he's been here. And at the beginning of the season, most people seem to be real excited about what we did given the situation that we're in. So to me, to say that, you know, once the team is built, that he's the person that should get fired, when I think he's done a pretty good job this far. So I don't understand why we would even talk about him getting fired right now.
I agree. But, honestly, Steve, I think Jerry has done a pretty good job utilizing whatever resources the Giants have to fill as many needs as possible. I think he's done pretty good work, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, so... Well, I'm, you know, I'm glad. I mean, I agree with everything you said, John. I just say, you know, that Linville situation, that really is going to bother me because, you know, for just many reasons everybody else is saying, he's just been such a solid player. You hate to see, you know, a person like that go, and I just don't really know what these young guys are going to bring. As far as Tuck, even, you know, that hurts me, you know, because he's a Giant at heart, you know, all the time. I'm really not that big on him being a captain, like a lot of people say, but I do, you know, I have a lot of love for the guy and appreciation, and I hope he retires, comes back and retires as a Giant, but I don't think he's that big of a loss as far as the captain aspect of it, you know, and we, you know, with the last couple seasons before, like that, where really didn't get that much until the end, so I, you know, for this, you know, but the only thing that really bothers me about Tuck leaving mostly is the fact that Kiwi is still here. And I'm not big on Kiwi at all. I just think that I don't understand. I would like to know how much he's getting paid and why is he still here, because it seems like we should have just, you know.
Well, Steve, quite honestly, the reason Kiwanuka is here, and you're right, he did not have a good year last year. Tuck had a far better year rushing the passer and stopping the run. I'm not disagreeing with any of that. Unfortunately, the way Kiwanuka's contract is structured, it's very similar to the way that Boss's contract was structured, in that you're really not going to get that much salary cap relief this year if you want to let him go. So I honestly think that's probably the biggest thing keeping Kiwanuka here, is that his contract is structured so that he has a lot of guaranteed money and dead money left on that deal. So even if they do decide to let him go, it wouldn't save the team all that much money on the cap anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, you obviously know a lot more about that than I do, and I appreciate that. It just seems like, man, we could have shaved some money and kept Tuck here. I like to keep the best players, you know, the fan favorites, you know, the people who give us the most. And, I obviously I love Kiwi, but, I mean, it just sucks that we couldn't keep Tuck here. You know, when we have a better player, and you see, watch somebody stay who is a lot lesser, and then, you know, a better player go.
I hear you.
So, hey, man, great show. I'm like, you know, I could scout to go on and on about it, but I'm like I said, you know, I give Reese an A-, so, you know, I'm excited, you know, I'm looking forward to it, man. Great show, and I'll be pleased. So,
thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. And all now, right, if you would have told me a month ago that Stephen D.C. would have called up and gave Jerry Reese an A-minus grade 2 days after Akeem Nicks signed a one-year, $3.5 million contract with $2 million worth of incentives with the Colts, I would have told you were out of your damn mind. You know what this means? And I could not be prouder of myself. I'm doing the classic Landsman will pat myself on the back maneuver right now. I managed to convince Steve that maybe bringing back Akeem Nicks wasn't the best idea. I think I convinced him. I think I got him to believe. I think I got him. I wrapped him in. Wow. Maybe my powers of persuasion were more powerful than even I could have imagined. Back to our phones. 201-939-4513. Ed is in Surf City. Ed, what's going on, buddy?
Nothing. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Ed. How about yourself?
Good. I actually like the signings that Jerry Reese is making. Schwartz, he's a big guy, 6'6", 340. He was in the West Coast offense under Andy Reid. So he'll be cognizant of an offense that does get rid of the ball quickly if McAdoo does decide to mix that in the playbook. And I saw some footage on Dalton when he was in Denver. He looks like an excellent pass protector. And he looks okay in the run game, but that's okay because that was a zone blocking scheme. And that's why I like the Jennings sign. Big guy, he's like 230 pounds.
I was going to say, he's not three bills.
No. He's a seventh-round draft pick, and he seems like he plays like he's pissed off.
He does.
You know if he's good at pass protection?
You know what? I've heard he can improve a little bit in the area. He's not great, but he should be good enough to do what the Giants need him to do.
Better than David Wilson?
Well, yeah, but that's a pretty low bar you're setting there, to be quite honest with you.
Okay. Well, with Reese in regards to all his signings, the significant thing is not necessarily how these guys are graded individually, in my opinion, and by their contract, but how they perform on the field as a nucleus come September.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to necessarily be a top five are top 10 linemen. It's just if they can perform well together, and there's nothing wrong with shopping at Walmart.
Like this. I appreciate the call.
27-cent ramen noodle soup. It's not good for your sodium, but it is quite the deal.
All right, Ed, thanks for the call, buddy.
Yep.
Oh, man, Ed made me laugh today. That's going back to Len from Maryland's Walmart analogy from last week. 37 cents ramen noodles. Nice. A lot of sodium. He's right about that. All those soups have a lot of sodium, believe it or not, that you pick up. But anyway, back to the point. And look, I think Jerry Reese has done a good job. But quite frankly, folks, Jerry Reese and the Giants' fortunes are not going to be decided by free agency. As much as you want them to be, this isn't about free agency. This is going to be eventually about the draft. That's how you build the team. And you don't want to know where the Giants are, where they are? They haven't drafted that well. I mean, go through the last four drafts. Who are the players out of the cornerstones of your franchise that you drafted in the last 4 years? Prince, Pugh, Hankins. That silence is purposeful. Who else are we talking about here? Nick's just walked away. Do we know about JPP? We don't. Wilson's banged up with the neck. Linval's gone. Where are the guys out of the cornerstones of your roster for years moving forward? I mean, right now, who are the best players on this team? Just think about it. Eli, mid-30s. Colin Jenkins, one of your best defensive player, 30s. You know, John Beeson's about to turn 30. Will Beattie's 30, or close to it. And people are trying to get at his contract the first year after it's signed. Roll's going to be 30. I mean, who are the 23, 24, 25-year-old guys here that are going to be here for 8, 9, 10 years and be the cornerstone of this team? Where are they? You know, Victor Cruz is in that category. But the list is short. And that's why, as important as the last week has been, and as important as free agency has been and it's going to be, look, it's the draft that counts. We're going to start building to that now, and I don't want to jump to the draft yet because I think we're way early, and I want to stick on free agency, but that's really where the money's going to be made. And he's right. It's not about, you know, look, it is about bringing in the best players, but it's also bringing in the players that fit what you're trying to do and you fit value with need. And this is free agency I'm talking about, not the draft. You bring in the guys that you need at a good price, so you fill as many needs as you can with the salary cap situation that you're in. I think Jerry Reese, quite frankly, has done a pretty darn good job doing that. I think he's targeted the areas where they need the most help, and they've hit him. Now, the one thing I do worry about, in fairness, and I'll jump back on your calls in just a second, don't worry, and here's what I worry about. Last year, the offense was broken. It was terrible, right? Where have most of their free agent additions been? More than half have been defense. Is it a huge majority? No, but it's more than half. McLean, Beeson, Thurmond, all these guys are back. They've been brought in on defense. Demps. So, look, I know you brought in a running back. You brought in Schwartz. You brought in the Walton guy from Denver, who, by the way, I worry about basically not having played football for 2 seasons. Relying on him to be your starting center, I think, is a little risky. That's why I think, you know, either they bring in another veteran at center or Kevin Booth comes back to give you some protection there. But I still think there's work to do in the offensive line. You have no tight end. Are you okay at wide receiver? I don't know. Remember, we talked about bringing in 2 or 3 new offensive linemen this year that could be starting quality guys. I'm not trying to put J.D. Walton down here, folks, but I don't know if I can count him as one of those 3 guys. Schwartz is 1. You need more. And that's why, unless another veteran gets brought in for agency, I still think an offensive lineman in the draft in rounds 1 through 3 is probably going to be necessary to fill out that offensive line. I really do. 201-939-4513. Keith is down in Kentucky. Keith, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, John, man? Hey, love the show.
Appreciate
I've been
it.
Wanting to call all week. All week, man.
What do you got?
You got a lot of patience. A lot of patience.
I appreciate that.
You know, I think Jerry's been doing great. I give us an A. You know, I think he's setting up for us to beat Ebron first round. If not him, we're going to get Nichols in the second, you know. But I just got a question about free agency. Who do you think, at our situation with our money, should we get a free agency at the wide receiver position?
That's a good question. I mean, right now, I think with what you're looking at in terms of the cap, I don't think you can go out there and you know, spend big. Then again, I don't think there's any wide receivers out there that are worth spending big on either. So I think, you know, what the Giants will be looking for and what's out there, it is kind of in sync. The wide receiver market hasn't moved a ton since free agency has started. Look, Knicks just signed, Decker signed, what, like a $6 million a year deal with the Jets, which I thought was pretty in line with what his value should be. So I think there are guys out there that you can get. They tried to get Ted Ginn. I thought that would have been a good pick. I thought Jacoby Jones would be a good speed guy, too, that could help on specials and be a receiver. I still think, quite honestly, a guy like James Jones would be a pretty good fit here. If you can get him at a couple million dollars a year, 2 or 3, even if it's just a 1-year deal, like a 2-year $6 million, 2-year $5 million contract, if you can bring him here to be a veteran safety net behind Reuben Randall and Gerald Jernigan, let him compete with those guys for the starting job in training camp, I think that would be a nice little addition to solidify the wide receiver core. And quite frankly, then all of a sudden the pressure's off and you don't feel a lot of pressure to add a wide receiver in the first 3 rounds of the draft. You can do it if it works and value meets need in that spot and you get somebody that's high on your board in, you know, the second or third round, but I don't think you have to.
And I think that's the situation you want to put yourself in heading into the draft. You don't want to be put in a spot where you have to draft somebody at a position.
Right, right. And what do you think? Now, I'm kind of a fan of this guy. I didn't like this guy when he played for the Cowboys. But Mike Jenkins, what do you think about him coming to the team?
You know, Jenkins played okay with Dallas. He had a lot of shoulder issues there. He's very inconsistent. He never really put it all together. He likes to be a bump-and-run physical corner. I mean, if you can get him at a really low number, I'd consider it. But I think there are a lot of red flags with him. He's inconsistent, like I said. He's had injury problems. So he's a good player when he's on. I just don't think he's on often enough. You know what I mean, Keith?
I didn't know that. And do you think they should bring back Booth and actually have him compete for the center position? Because I like him at center better than guard.
Well, honestly, at this point, I think you have to bring back Booth to provide veteran depth inside. I don't think you have much of a choice. You know, as much as you like J.D. Walton and what he did before he got hurt with the Broncos, the guy hasn't played football in nearly 2 years because of a bad ankle injury. It's hard for me to, you know, hand this guy a starting job and say, this is yours, when he hasn't done it in a while.
Okay, yeah, definitely. All right, thanks, John.
Hey, Keith, appreciate the call, man. Good to hear from you. We haven't heard from Keith in Kentucky in a while. Everyone in Kentucky is usually thinking college basketball at this time of year. Keith's thinking Giants football. We like that. Back to our phones, 201-939-4513. I think this is a first-time caller. I don't remember ever hearing from a Mike in Dallas. Mike, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, man, I'm heartbroken. I called several times.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. Very bad memory on my part. Maybe you talked to Lance last week and not me.
Well, I talked to you before several times.
Sorry, Mike. My bad.
Oh, it's okay. I told you in the middle of last year, don't bring Akeem Nicks back. Don't franchise tag him. Don't bother him.
Oh, I remember your call now. Okay, I got you.
Okay, and everyone's like, no, we're going to franchise tag him. It's not that much. Listen, I like a lot of what we've done this year. You know, I give us a B minus. And the reason why is because we're going to overspend. Let's go overspend on the center. Let's go overspend on another guard. You know, why are we talking about, you know, Cromartie? We picked up somebody already. You know, if we get, I kept saying, if we get another, you know, cornerback, then we're okay. And we did that. Let's go draft a tight end, and we're okay. But we got to go get a center. You know, a center is a big deal. A center or a guard, whichever one. I know the guy from New Orleans is out there still. Let's go get him. Let's go overspend on something that we can use. You know, as far as Reese goes, like I said, B minus. Because you know what? Our biggest issue really hasn't been addressed. I mean, what do you think about that?
I believe that the Giants still need to go out there and improve the offensive line. I don't think they've done enough to be comfortable going into next season with the guys they have there and going to war with that group in front of Eli Manning. I don't think you can depend on Chris Snee, as much as I'm rooting for him. As hard as he works and as good of a guy as he is, he's coming off two hip surgeries. I mean, can you really depend on him to be a starting guard for you? I don't know if you can. I mentioned J.D. Walton. It seems like, as Ted Crum points out on Facebook, the Giants are going to rely on him to be a starting center. I'm not sure you can, you know, really put all your eggs in that basket. I think it's a significant risk. Can he do it? Sure. But I think you have to have some type of veteran backup behind him, you know, to be ready in case he can't do the job. And look, the biggest issue last year we talked about was the offensive line again and again and again and again. And Jeff Schwartz was a fantastic signing. I loved it. I thought it was right on the money. I would have liked another one in addition to that. You know, I don't think Evan Dietrich Smith got a ridiculous contract. You know, I would have much rather had Evan Dietrich Smith at the deal he got than giving Walton the money that he got. And I'm not sure what De La Puente is going to get, but I'm sure it's going to be a similar situation.
Are we even going after him right now? Because I keep hearing we're bringing in Cromartie, we're bringing in this guy. But why aren't we bringing in the New Orleans guy? Why haven't I heard anything about him?
Well, I can tell you, I don't know the answer to that question. But from my perspective, if I had the choice of signing Cromartie at the money he's probably going to want or signing De La Puente at the money he's going to want, I would rather sign the center.
Because, you know, at the way we're going now, it's like we're going to have to draft a tight end.
Yep.
We're going to have to draft a guard. And we're gonna have to draft probably some another center.
Well, I'm not sure if you have to draft a guard and a center. I think if you can get a starting interior lineman in the first three rounds, in the second round or third round, a guard or center, I think you'd be okay. And I think the other places you'd look
or probably tight end, like you said. Right now, I think you have to draft a tight end around one or two. I don't think you're leaving yourself much of an option. And then I think you have to look at corner, and I think you have to look at wide receiver for the other spot.
I absolutely agree. You know, the receiver, honestly, I'd rather bring back Hickson, someone like that, someone that's at least familiar with the system, because there's no one out there in free agency worth getting. And we don't, you know, when was the last time we brought in a first-round draft pick for receiver and played him the first year? I don't remember one.
Yeah, general. Well, you know what? Remember, though, there is a different system now. And remember, Kevin Gilbride's offense was complicated. It was hard for rookies to learn. You know, maybe the rookies will be able to get integrated in a little bit more quickly in whatever thing McAdoo comes up with.
So I just remember Manningham was a high pick. Knicks was a high pick. You know, a lot of high picks, but none of them played in the first year.
No, that's true.
I don't remember Knicks at all in the first year.
Yeah, I mean, Knicks caught about, I think, 40 balls in his first season with the Giants. He came on a little bit later in the year. But you're right. Generally speaking, it takes them a while. But, again, maybe in a new offense, it'll be a little bit easier to use rookie wide receivers. We'll see.
All right, well, you know, thanks for having me, man.
Hey, thanks. Mike, thanks for calling in. And I apologize for forgetting you and accusing you of being a first-time caller.
Yeah, just don't do it again, man.
All right, no problem, Mike. I won't do it. I appreciate it. Thanks, man. Good call, Mike. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. We love our Giant fans trampling it down in Dallas. They're holding it down in enemy territory. Let's go back to our phones. Wow, I haven't heard from Jeff in Rhode Island in quite a while. Jeff, good morning.
How you doing, Johnny?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How about yourself?
Okay. I'm doing okay. I've been listening in all the time. Sometimes it's hard to get through, you know.
No, so, you know what? I got to give Giant fans credit. We've had full lines for literally three straight weeks now, and they're busy all the time. So I know it's hard to get through, and I appreciate you guys taking the time.
Yeah.
By the way, and two people on Twitter pointing out to me that Kevin Booth visiting with the Raiders today. So that's something to keep an eye on, see if he leaves there with a contract or not.
Yeah, I just saw that on the page here. I agree with your assessment. We were talking earlier about the offensive line and we do need to have some more depth. And, let's not forget, we know about the tight end situation, wide receiver situation, and we also have to replace Justin Tuck. So depending on what happens with other free agent signings, I don't know if we're going to have any more, but it seems as if those areas are probably going to be addressed in a draft, I would think. And certainly we all know that Mr. Reese really has the nail it this year. Really, really, really very important that he nails it. So, that's what I'm kind of feeling about right now. So,
Jeff, I'm with you. I don't disagree. I mean, but, you have to make tough choices here and there. And I think Jerry, for the most part, has done a pretty good job making decisions that might be unpopular, like letting Tuck go. But I think in general, free agency this year, he's done a pretty good job making his priorities clear and sticking with them. Now, again, I would have liked to see maybe a little bit more work on the offensive line, but I think in general, Jerry Reese has done a pretty good job. Remember, I said it from the start of the free agency this period back in January. I never liked the tight end class this year. I thought it was poor. I didn't think you could find a starter there. That's why I've always thought you need to draft a tight end in the first or second round, and I think that's where you're finding your starter, and I think that's eventually what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I just, I can't see him going in any other direction in terms of getting a starting tight end, because there's nothing in free agency. So we'll see how it plays out. I don't know too much about this the cornerback that they signed from the Seahawks. Can you tell me a little bit more about him?
Yeah, Walter Thurman. I appreciate. I can't believe, by the way, Jeff, that you're the first caller to bring this guy up. We're like an hour and 2 hours into the hour and a half into the show, and nobody's brought up the Giants signing over the weekend, which I thought was an excellent one. He's only 26 years old. He's going to be 27 in August, so he's still in the prime of his career. According to Pro Football Focus, he allowed the fifth fewest yards per play when covering in the slot last year, which is something the Giants certainly need with Terrell Thomas apparently not being close to returning at this point. So I think it was a very good signing by the Giants. I think he's a starting caliber player. I think his value might be overinflated a little bit because of the job he did in Seattle as part of such a great Super Bowl winning defense. But look, at 1 year, $3.5 million, if that reported contract is in fact what the deal is, I think the Giants got very good value for a corner that's going to play the slot and going to be a very important player for this defense next year. I think it was a great signing by Jerry Reese.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear, buddy. Okay, well, you have a good day, and I'll be talking to you soon, pal.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Jeff. 201-939-4513. Justin Birdar on Twitter want to bring up his tweet.
Mike from Dallas overspending on a center. Did that with Boster years ago. How's that work out? But quite frankly, I didn't think Evan Dietrich Smith's contract was that ridiculous. You know, Boss was upwards of, you know, wasn't his contract upwards of $5 or $6 million a year when he signed it here? I'd have to look at the numbers again, but I'm pretty sure it was 5 or 6 a year. Dietrich Smith was about 4 a season, and he's young. I know he hasn't started a ton, and there's always risk with offensive linemen, but to me, for a starting offensive lineman, one of the better ones, $3 to $4 million a year, I think that's about what you're looking at here. If you're not going to draft one, have him on his rookie deal, I think that's what you're looking at. So, you know, we'll see what De La Puente gets. But my feeling is that the center market didn't seem to be as high as a lot of people thought. We talked to Jason Cole before free agency. He thought Dietrich Smith would get $5-6 million a year. It didn't happen. So I think it's a lot more reasonable than a lot of people believe. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones and say what's up to Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, how's Walmart today?
But listen, the first thing I want to let you know is I shop at Walmart. I hope no one in Walmart's management down in Arkansas is listening to this show and gets the idea that Len in Columbia doesn't shop at Walmart. Walmart's okay. You just got to understand what you're getting when you go there.
And by the way, Len, you're very lucky that Giants don't have, like, an official superstore or department store. Otherwise, you would have gotten in a lot of trouble talking all this Walmart stuff over the past couple of weeks.
There you go. There you go. Listen, I got to tell you, a good show this morning. The calls, I think, have just really been, you know, great.
The last few, for sure.
Yeah, but and I got to tell you, you're knocking it out of the park today. I mean, you're just right on with everything you say.
Why are you sucking up to me, Len? Stop sucking up, Len. Stop sucking up to me. It's not going to work.
No. I usually wait till later in the show, as you know, to call in. Because I want to find something I can disagree or talk
okay.
or debate with Lance or John, and I'm telling you, you really are knocking it out of the park today and summing things up. I share your concern about the run defense. Just you know, one thing. You know, I share your concern about the future of the run defense. Hopefully, Big Hank comes through and is better than Linville. I guess the Giants figure he will be.
Well, I'm not sure if the thing is going to be better right away, Len, but I think they believe his production will be close enough where it's warrants, you know, saving $5.5 million or whatever money they're saving. I think that's the way they look at it, and they figure maybe in a couple years, in Hankins' third year, he will be as good, if not better, than Joseph. I think that's how they look at it.
Well, I hope that's true.
Right.
I hope that's true, because I thought that was a great pick at number two last year, and, you know, I hope the guy indeed comes through. You know, on these free agents, I think Jerry's doing a good job. It's a real solid job. I think what we got to hope for, John, is that some of these guys, including our own free agents that we re-signed, like Stevie Brown, you know, we got to hope that these guys can come back from those injuries, like at the center position. It's interesting that Booth is going out to Oakland to interview. He started at Oakland. I think he started as a rookie when he got out of Cornell.
He did, and trust me, if you don't think Justin Tuck was out there and put in a good word for Kevin Booth, you're nuts. Because I don't think Tuck and Booth are best friends by any means, but they have very similar demeanors, personalities, and I'm sure if they asked Tuck about Kevin Booth, he really spoke volumes to them about the type of guy and teammate he's going to be. And it seems like the Raiders are really concerned, Len, with trying to bring in some level-headed veterans to help guide some of the younger players. And I think Booth would be the perfect guy to do that on the offensive line.
Yeah, right. I agree. I mean, I don't want to get hung up on Kevin Booth.
Right.
I think we wanted him back. We wanted him back for a specific reason. I think that's, you know, most of the callers would agree. He's really a backup guy, and if Walden doesn't work out, we can't plug him in there at the center position. But we have to have some of these guys be able to play, like Walden. You know, the health issues are concerns. Stevie Brown, Walden, et cetera. Even the new linebacker with a neck contusion. I mean, you know, that can be serious stuff.
Right.
You know, you hope they can work their way past that. And, yes, the draft is important, obviously. But also, and I know this may be getting old with you and some of the callers, but Jesus, time for some of these young veterans to emerge, John.
Hey, Lennon, that's it. Look, and I talked about it a little earlier in the show. You go through it. Who are the 25-year-olds that are going to be the cornerstone of this team for the next 4 years? It's a really short list, and that's a problem.
Yeah, it sure is. But some of these guys, you can even at the quarterback spot, you know, we got to see Nassib emerge as the number two. Nothing personal with Curtis Painter, but if we can go with two quarterbacks and feel confident in Nassib, you know, it opens up a roster spot. So, I mean, we got to see these guys, you know, Robinson at tight end. The list is long. Mosley inside, Hosley in the defensive backfield, Randall. I mean, you know, between the tight ends, Myers and the unsigned Pascoe, and Nix. But we've gone over this before, John. We're talking 115, 120 catches, 1,500 yards. I mean, we're just to break even on last year. Where's that going to come from?
That's a great question. That's honestly what I worry about. They say the offense is broken. Have they done enough to fix it? I'm not sure they've done enough so far.
Well, you were right on when you identified the real needs now, in terms of not necessarily in this order, but offensive line, tight end, and wide receiver. We got to make up 1,500 yards, Sean. You know, I mean, that's a lot. And let me talk about Nix. You know, I think the handwriting was on the wall. I can't believe it in terms of what this guy looked like. Most of us who saw Nix right at the beginning said, oh, my gosh, this guy's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that 2011 season, geez. Just incredible.
Yeah,
thank
in 2011, a top five wide receiver in the league. He was that good.
Yeah, I mean, really, really. And, you know, it looked like we were, you know, we were set for 5, 6, 7 years at wide receiver.
Yeah.
But, I mean, things, you know, something, he fell off track. Something happened. I'm not sure what it is. But I don't think we could bring him back. I mean, it was probably well known inside the locker room, even amongst the players, what the heck was going on. You know, the Dallas fiasco. Help me to understand this. This contract that he signed with Indy, it's got incentives in it.
Apparently the incentives can get it up as high, I think, 5.5 or give or take. I don't know what the incentives are, though. I have not been able to figure that out.
Well, I understand there was one that I saw listed that said if he makes the Pro Bowl. Okay? All right, that's fine. But there were a couple of others, touchdowns, and receptions. Now, I don't know how they work those. I've never heard that for a wide receiver, and here's why I say that. John, isn't that what a wide receiver is supposed to do?
Theoretically.
I mean, it's like giving the place kicker $5,000 for every extra point he makes. I mean, that's what a place kicker is supposed to do. I mean, I just didn't understand when I saw those incentives. I mean, geez, he needs an incentive to catch passes.
Oh, Len, here we go. Actually, NJ.com, maybe this is where they saw it. I'll give Jordan Ronan some credit here. They actually list some of the incentives in the contract. And then they say it's a one-year deal for $4 million that can reach a max value of $5.5 million. So that has bumped up a little bit since it was first reported. It's a $1.6 million base salary, $2 million signing bonus, an opening day roster bonus for $400,000. So that's your guaranteed $4 million in year number one. And then in terms of incentives, they have $750,000 for, it says max receptions incentive, $500,000 for the max TD incentive, and then an extra $250,000 for a Pro Bowl incentive. So I guess they don't have what the actual numbers are here, but I guess if he reaches a certain level in those two categories, that's the most he can make.
Well, what is that supposed to do to the player? Give him an incentive to play his position better? You would think we're signing him and giving him $4 million guaranteed.
Well, honestly, I don't think those are designed necessarily to get Hakeem Nicks to play better. I think it's one of those deals where the culture trying to protect themselves. They're like, well, you know, Hakeem, if you're as bad as you were last year, we don't want to pay you $6 million. We just want to pay you $4 million, so we're not going to give you this money. So I don't think it's you know, they designed that to get Hakeem Nicks to play harder. I think they designed it to, you know, frankly, protect their own pocketbooks in case Hakeem Nicks is as bad as he was last year. I think that's the only reason you do that.
John, I hate to do this with Hakeem because he gave us what he could, and we had those, you know, middle years that were great. This is kind of a snide remark. Maybe if we had an incentive in his contract, John, maybe opening night against Dallas, second offensive play, when Hakeem caught that play that I designed, as you remember.
Ah, boy.
Hey, Hakeem caught that pass, that slant across the middle.
Yeah.
Maybe he'd have scored a touchdown if he had an incentive.
Oh, boy. That, Len, that is a snide remark. I expect better out of you than that.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I hope nobody's listening. Listen, I think Jerry's doing a good job. Let's hope these guys, you know, these guys can stay healthy or are healthy enough to give us something during the year. He's doing what he can. Let's go, Giants. Let's see if we can sign a couple of more guys. Let's fill in. I'm okay with the Manningham signing. I hope we can. I mean, that's okay. You know, you're talking about a fourth wide receiver, and maybe round three, round four, we draft the player who's our fifth wide receiver, and you know, that's it. We take a shot at it, and you know, get a little. I think every signing has helped us get better, John. Whether we can get to 10 wins and beat the Eagles, that's a whole other story. But incrementally, I think we're getting better at every position with these signings.
Thanks, Len.
These guys just. Okay, buddy. Thank you.
Appreciate Bye-bye. It, man. Yeah, and I agree. I think the Giants are getting better. Would I predict them to win the division if the season started tomorrow? I'm not sure if I put them ahead of Philly. And by the way, someone just retweeted this in the Giants chat. Ancho Roll tweeting 10 minutes ago, DRC, 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 exclamation point, we need him at Giants. So, you know, maybe Ancho Roll is doing a little recommendation work with Dominic Rogers Cromartie. But again, I will point out that I think it'll be tough for the Giants to fit him under the budget. And again, I think there is a certain amount of risk giving a guy like that who has had some inconsistency issues in the past a ton of money. And I think he's looking for a ton of money. Get him on a one-year deal, yeah, I'm on board. Sign me up. But beyond that, we'll see. We have three calls on the line. We will take you three, and then we're going to say goodbye at 201-939-4513. Let's go to Chris in Philadelphia next. Chris, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, man? I want to add a little caveat to the conversation that you guys are having today.
Sure, what do you got?
I want to say, like, coming from Philadelphia, I have to hear about Chip Kelly and the Eagles damn near every day. I go in the barbershop, it's Chip Kelly and the Eagles, it's Chip Kelly and the Eagles, Chip Kelly and the Eagles. And I say I like what Jerry Reese did in terms of a whole view when he went out and he couldn't get the coach, of course, because the coach of Oregon is already in Philadelphia. So he went out and got the quarterback's coach, who was there the whole time the offenses were being implemented. And I think that's something that we didn't really pay attention to in one of the signings that was made. It's like, as well as bringing in McAdoo to be the overall offensive coordinator, of course, like the quarterback's coach, I think bringing that guy from Oregon who will help the defense in terms of knowing maybe some of the packages that might run, some of the singles, or whatever the case may be, anything to give us an advantage. And I was wondering what you thought about that, first off.
You know what? That's not a bad idea. I think bringing a guy with some college experience to understand some of those more interesting system things coming to the league, I don't think is a bad idea. But remember, he's not a defensive coach. It's not like he's going to
sit there with
Perry Field trying to figure out how to, you know, shut down the Chip Kelly offense. You know what I mean?
No, I don't. To actually know the offenses that your opponent is going to run or some of the tendencies that your opponent is going to have. And I think coming from the quarterback's coach, there has to be some kind of cues or something. Like even if it's some of them dumb Rocky signs or whatever the case may be, that's one of the sidelines. But I think that's one of the things that'll help us. But, I mean, overall, I think the signings, I can't complain about the signings.
You know, though, Chris, just one thing real quick, and then you can keep going.
Sure.
Remember, he was from Oregon State, not from Oregon. So just to make sure you have that straight.
All right. In that case, that's my bad, because I actually thought that he was from Oregon.
No, that's right. No worries.
Oregon State.
That's cool.
Okay. But, I think that just helping Eli just to see the field, because I remember, like, that first game when everybody's like, six turnovers in one game. That can't possibly happen for the rest of the year, and lo and behold, it did. So, I mean, the Eagles are ahead of us right now in terms of on paper, but they have been paper champions ever since they were trying to bring it home for Jerome. and I think it'll be another year of not. It doesn't. I mean, I see the Eagles as being like Jim Johnson's old defense. They're good between the 20s, which is the regular season, and once they get into the playoffs and what have you, when the tournament actually counts and it matters, that I don't think they'll be around. So I think this year will be us climbing back up into the talks of being dominant in the NFC East. But I think that when Andy Reid left last year, he take all of the mojo out of the NFC East with him, and I think as a whole, the NFC East was down. So I don't know if there's that much of more ahead of us, but I know that we have to think, we have to do some things to keep up. And I was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Hey, look, right now I think the Eagles are pretty clearly the best team in the division. I don't think there's much doubt about that. Nick Foles starting for an entire year unless he goes into a sophomore slump. Macklin back, Riley Cooper back. Their offensive line, which was very strong last year, is coming back intact. Their defense, still a question mark. I like the Malcolm Jennings signing in the secondary at safety. I think he'll help him a lot there. And remember, they're another year into that 3-4 defense, which I think will certainly they'll be a little bit better, you know, just getting used to that defense for a second year. So, yeah, I think the Giants still have some work to do. And, look, we talked about it. Free agency is great, but Jerry Reese is going to have to find two starters in the draft this year, maybe even three.
Yeah.
If the Giants really want to compete in the NFC East, I don't think there's any doubt about it, Chris. I'm with you 100%.
All right, so I guess in that case, last question as far as it goes. All right, now, I think that the Eagles had some signings, but do you think that – how can I put this question? Shucky Ducky, okay. Heck, I don't even know, man. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard hearing anything good about the Eagles at all, especially coming from Philadelphia. Like, my two favorite teams are the Giants and anybody that play against the Eagles, so I'm constantly rooting against the Eagles. And you just don't know how hard it is to walk around with your big blue hat on and your big blue jersey and walk up in some of these spots and actually hear some of the just the disrespect for us big blue guys. And I'll just leave and say this. I was fortunate enough to actually watch the 86 Super Bowl, the 2008 and 2012. So I got a chance to see all four Super Bowls. So as a fan, I couldn't be happier. And go Big Blue, my man.
All right, Chris. Thanks for the call, man. Two of my favorite calls today. We had Chris in Philly and Chris in Dallas living in enemy territory and just doing a good job on the phone. Mike in Dallas, excuse me, not Chris in Dallas. See, that's why I thought he was a first-time caller. Now Mike's going to be even more pissed off at me. But Chris and Mike, two excellent jobs today. I appreciate the call. Thanks a lot. Stu DiMeglio, DRC, looking for a ton of money. He's going to be a Jet. Again, I happen to agree. I think he's looking for a ton of money. I don't know if he's going to wind up with the Jets, but here's my thing. Someone out there will outbid the Giants for Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie. That, I think, is going to happen. Now, might Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie say, I want to play for the Giants and I'll play there for less money? Now, if that happens, maybe they can work something out. He never struck me as the type of guy that would do something like that. Just saying. I could be wrong. Hopefully I am. But good call. I appreciate it, Chris. Thanks a lot. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones and say what's up to Solomon down in Washington, D.C. He's living in the land of the Redskins. What's up, Solomon?
Yes. It doesn't seem like the Redskins are doing much. I'm usually on Twitter at Toby Gleish.
Oh, wait. What's going on, man? It's good to hear from you. How are you?
Yeah, this is my second time calling in. I think the last time I called in, I got Paul DeTino on a bad day.
You don't even want Paul DeTino on a good day, let alone a bad day.
Yeah, that was about 2 years ago. But I think this receiving core can actually be pretty good if we add a compliment at the fourth spot. Because Jernigan has crazy speed and shiftiness. Cruz is shifty. Randall is he's a dominant receiver if he can actually play it to three-fourths of his potential. He can be a great receiver.
Well, Solomon, I'll say this. A big part of the Giants' success this year, especially based on the fact they haven't brought anybody in at wide receiver, we'll see what they do in the draft. A lot of this year's success in offense is going to have to do with whether or not Reuben Randall and Jarrell Jernigan in this new offense can step up and become legitimate number two and number three wide receivers. If they can, I think the Giants' offense can be a lot better this year. But right now, quite frankly, the jury's still out, in my opinion.
Yeah, it just seems like you have to depend on those two guys. You got to depend on David Wilson coming off the neck injury. It's just a lot of ifs, and it just seems like it can go really good or really bad.
No, yo, look, he can. And look, you saw it last year. Randall led the team in touchdowns, but he also had the lowest, the highest interception percentage of passes thrown to him over the year. So he was very feast or famine. He has to get more consistent. And Joe Jerdingen, for all he flashed in the last couple of games, he's got to stay healthy. That was one of the big things keeping him on the bench his first two or three years with the Giants. He couldn't stay on the field. He kept hurting himself. So, you know, Randall has to get more consistent. Jerdingen has to stay healthy. And quite frankly, both guys who took about 2 years to learn Gilbride's offense have to learn a new offense this offseason. Let's see if they can handle that or not.
Yeah, and I think the JPP at tight ends has one more year before he can show us something.
I'm not even sure he is a year. The JPP of tight ends better show you something in spring and summer, or he's going to find himself off the roster.
Also, one more thing. It's looking like our defense is going to be pretty good. It seems like if we get someone like DRC, or I've been preaching Justin Gilbert for a while now. If we get one of those two, it seems like the secondary might actually be the strongest point instead of the defensive line, which would be, it'd be pretty weird to have the defensive line as the weakest point in our defense.
And you know how Jerry Reese loves to draft defensive players. So, look, I will never be surprised if Jerry Reese drafts a pass rusher high, because that's what, frankly, he's done time and time again. So I'd never be surprised. We'll see what happens in the secondary. I still think a corner high in this draft is very much a possibility.
Okay, thanks for taking
my call. Appreciate the call, man. 201-939-4513. And look, I think that's what you like. And that's why I like the Thurman signing. Because, look, is it the best-case scenario if the Giants go in next year with their top three corners being Prince, Thurman, and Tremaine McBride? And then maybe if Hosley add another low-cost veteran? Is that the best thing in the world? No. Are you a top secondary in football with those guys? No, you're not a top 10, but you can be an extremely effective secondary if they stay healthy. It's not a dying need. Wide receiver, you know, Jerdingen, Randall, you add a veteran free agency. Are you dying for a wide receiver? No. And that's what you want to put yourself in a position in, where you're not dying for a position. Now, I'm not sure if they can help it with tight end. Maybe they can bring in a guy that's, you know, a fullback that you can, you know, depend on him to be a starter. I don't think Chandler's signed with anybody yet, has he? The Buffalo guy? Did he resign? He went back to the Bills? I missed that. But, you know, an Ed Dixon type, someone like that. Possibility. We'll see. 201-939-4513. By the way, you mentioned Paul Dottino on a bad day. I've heard the song before, but I saw the music video for the first time over the weekend. VH1 still plays music videos. Who knew? Put it on Saturday morning. The song is by The Fits and the Tantrums. Not sure if you know the band. It's a good band. And the name of the song is The Walker. And as we all know, Paul Dottino is renowned for his power walking. So if you have a chance, go to YouTube. Bring up Fits and the Tantrums, The Walker. And how they didn't find Paul Dottino to get cast in that music video is beyond me. It's pretty perfect. And if you listen to the lyrics of the song, some of them are a little off the beaten path and doesn't apply, but some of them do. It was stuck in my head all weekend, and all I could think of was Dottino in the music video. That might be sad, it might be pathetic, I don't care, but it entertained me for a couple of days, and that's really all that matters. So check it out. I think you guys will get a kick out of it. Final call of the show. Earl is up early out in California, wants to talk about the draft. Earl, good morning. How is La La Land?
It's great, man. It's great. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Are you in L.A. or up in San Francisco, or where you at?
I'm close near L.A. I'm in Hemet. It's kind of a small town.
Okay, very nice. A little L.A. suburb. You must deal with a lot of traffic trying to get to the city, I would imagine.
Something like that.
Yeah, what do you got for me?
I just wanted to say, first off, When I was listening to you on Friday, I think everyone knows that was Ann in D.C. when she gave you a hard time.
Yeah, Earl, trust me. Nobody needs to be told that was Ann in D.C. That was about as obvious as you could imagine.
But I just wanted to get to the point. I think Jerry Reese is doing a great job right now in getting these free agents. I just have a problem with the corners. I just don't see a big corner big enough to, you know, cover Riley Cooper or Dez Bryant. You know, I think that's something – I don't even know if that's even someone good enough in the draft to cover those two guys.
Well, frankly, I'm not sure there's anybody in the league that's good enough to cover a guy like Dez Bryant one-on-one. I mean, it's just a really tough thing to do. Do I think the Giants can use a little bit of physicality and size at corner? Sure. I'm not sure those guys are necessarily available in free agency. I think Thurman brings that mindset and that bump-and-run physicality from Seattle, even if he doesn't have the size. But look, I don't think you have to have a bunch of 6'3 guys that have a good secondary in this league. I don't think that's necessary. It's a nice shore, but I don't think you have to. And if you want to go out there and, you know, make your secondary a huge position of strength and draft a corner in the first or second round, I'd be fine with that. I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, one other thing I want to say is I hope we get Eric Ebron. I know a lot of people are saying, like, oh, we need another wide receiver, we need another wide receiver. But what now these offenses, you see it moving the tight end into that slot. And I don't think in our division there's a safety that can cover Eric Ebron or even a linebacker that can cover Eric Ebron. I think we got an athletic tight end that we can move into the slot, the Victor Cruz on the outside, and Reuben Randall. I mean, everyone knows that Reuben Randall, a couple years ago, he was supposed to be in the first round, but he dropped into the second. And I just hope with, you know, an athletic tight end like that, we can really dominate our division with these. I just don't believe that they have a lot of strong linebackers or safeties.
Well, I mean, I think Ebron as a first-round pick would actually be a logical move. I know a lot of people disagree with me, quite frankly, out there. They don't want to pick a tight end in the first round. You know, people think you pick 12. Why would you pick a tight end? It doesn't make any sense. But I happen to agree with you, Earl. I think Eric Ebron is the type of game-changing, you know, 12-year starting tight end that could be an Antonio Gates, could be a Vernon Davis, could be a Jimmy Graham or Tony Gonzalez, but also blocks a little bit. Can, you know, let me put it this way. Giant fans, I'm going to give you an example here. If I told you that you could have Jason Witten for 10 years, would you use a first-round pick on him? And I think every Giant fan would say absolutely. And I believe that's the type of player that Ebron could be.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I just don't see, especially, I think maybe the Eagles, with they just signed Jenkins as their safety, but I really can't think of anybody in Washington or definitely not in Dallas that would be able to cover an athletic tight end like that.
Hey, look, and I agree. I think the one position of weakness in the NFC East, from the Redskins to the Eagles, you mentioned they brought in Jenkins, which will help them. But Dallas, nobody has safeties that can cover. They just don't have them. The Redskins have no one. The Cowboys have Barry Church, who's good around the line of scrimmage. But their free safeties have been uniformly awful since Darren Woodson retired back in 2002. And, you know, the Eagles, that's been a position of weakness too. And we'll see if they get better this year with the addition of the guy from the Saints. So I agree. I think a playmaking tight end in the middle of the field can really give Eli a security blanket and another weapon to throw the ball to. And I think it would mitigate the loss of a playmaking wide receiver like Nick's if you can put a matchup problem like Ebron at tight end in the middle of the field. I agree with you 100%.
I just think that if we saw a game right now, we went in a shotgun formation, we had Rashad Jennings right there next to Eli, Reuben Randall on the outside, Victor Cruz on the slot, and he had Eric Ebron on the outside. I mean, I see mismatches all day that I just don't think really our division can cover.
And if you want to throw Gerald Jernigan out there as your fourth wide receiver, that's another guy you'd have to cover in the slot.
Absolutely.
No,
that's
I'm with you.
I have for you, man.
Hey, thanks, sir. Thanks for the call, Earl. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you out there in California. Love our Giant fans out there on the West Coast. I appreciate it. Guys, great job on the phones. Show got rolling after a little bit of a slow start. Started getting going a little bit. By the way, our Big Blue Bracket Challenge kicks off today on Giants.com. Last year, we did the top draft classes, in Giants history. This year, we're doing top plays in Giants history. So you'll have a chance to go. You'll vote. Pick your plays in the bracket matchups that we've created. Now, last year, I was very heavily involved in the draft class. I take full credit for those, and I took the heat for some bad rankings, but I really wasn't consulting a lot of these plays, I'm not going to lie. So I will pass the buck to my boss and fearless leader, Don Sproling, on the plays and how they got ranked. So we could talk about that over the next couple of weeks as we pick some of the top plays in Giants history. That'll be a lot of fun. That's coming your way on Giants.com later on this afternoon. Make sure you check it out. I'm going to try, and by the way, you can also go to Giants.com. I sit down interviews at Henry Noski, who were signed.
with John Beeson, who resigned. Beeson was a great spot. And I also had a chance to talk to Jameel McClain. If you want to listen to those interviews, maybe I'll play him back on the show as moving forward. They're only a few minutes long. I'll play him back over the course of the week. And we'll see if the Giants make any other moves. Stay tuned to Giants.com for all the latest official news. The only place you can get that. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 9:30 on Giants.com. Big Blue, kickoff live.